Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, our Lord of peace, the branch, the one who loves us, died for us, rose again for us. Amen. Our text is the gospel. I want to talk about the ministry of John the Baptist today. We pray, Lord, you promise that when your word is proclaimed, it will not return empty, but will accomplish what you desire. So we pray you give us your spirit and work in us true faith and repentance, that we leave bearing much fruit for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, next Sunday, as you probably know, we have our live nativity. We've had that for 10 to 15 years, a good witness of the Lord's birth out here. And we have Joseph out there, we have Mary out there, we have a little baby Jesus, and we have shepherds and wise men. We have an angel, and thank you to all of you that have signed up to be those various people. And really, after reading the gospel lesson, though, I've always kind of thought this and said this, we need to add another figure to the nativity scene, and that is the figure of John the Baptist. Where is he at in the nativity? We can have him out here on the hill, camel's hair, a leather belt. He can be eating locusts and wild honey. Anybody want to sign up? And he can yell out, "Repent, the kingdom is here." And when people come and drive up, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to come from the fleeing wrath?" Who wants to sign up to be John the Baptist? You know, we find it hard to identify with John the Baptist. We always consider him kind of that guy on the edge of Christianity. He's kind of a wild man. I can't identify with him very much. Eats locusts and wild honey, wears camel's hair, calls people a brood of vipers who come out. Today, though, I want to talk about how we all are to identify with John the Baptist. Kind of my theme today is John the Baptist, you and me. John the Baptist is a great object lesson for all of us. He's an object lesson of the people of the Old Testament, the people of the New Testament, and you and I in 2016. He represents you and I. Because John the Baptist needs three things that I talked about at the end of Bible class. John the Baptist needs a new home. He needs new clothing. And he certainly needs new food. He is a needy man crying out in need, representing all of us. First of all, John the Baptist needs a new home. You go out there that day, and we go out there as we read the gospel lesson. We're there, out there, and John the Baptist is this guy living in the wilderness. Two times we have the word wilderness. And you would say, this guy needs a new home. Maybe we should invite him to our home. He's living out here in the wilderness, in some cave somewhere, with the scorpion, snakes, and cacti. I mean, he needs a new home. And then it gets worse for John, we know, because John goes to prison. Prison is his home, and he gets his head cut off later. The wilderness reminds us of the corruption of this world because of sin. We go back to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were made and put in the Garden of Eden, a garden of life and harmony and peace, where the wolf lay down with the lamb, and there is perfect harmony with God and with each other. The Garden of Eden, life, abundance, but then there's sin. And we sin and sin. And now this earth is a wilderness and a prison all in one. We are prisoners to our sin. We need release and freedom. We're helpless and we're in a wilderness here. We're all pretty wild people. We are the wolves that attack the lambs. And we're the leopards that attack the goats. And there's war and there's murder. And along with that, there's sickness and there's disease and there's stealing and there's fires and fires and floods and snow to come and ice and who knows what else. It's a wilderness out there. And who can possibly bring us back to the garden and give us harmony and peace with God and with each other again? Who can get us out of prison? And praise be to God for John the Baptist, who points us. John the Baptist can't do that. He points us to the one who can, the one who's mightier than John, who's stronger than John, whose sandals John and you and I aren't worthy to untie. And that one is named Jesus, the very Son of God. He will give us a new home. He'll bring us back to the garden. He'll bring us out of prison. He'll give us new life. You know, I heard where Dolly Parton, God bless her, she's donating something like $1,000 to everybody who lost their home in the fires. And we need to pray for those dear people and be in prayer and help however you can. Be generous and donate to the various places you can donate and pray a lot. Great tragedy. And I read where she's giving $1,000 to people that were displaced at least for 6 months, $1,000 a month to those families. Very generous that they might be able to live. Well, our God, of course, did a whole lot more than that. That we could have a new home, He gave His life. A lot more than $1,000, although again, that's a wonderful gift. He gave His life for you and I. And He rose again. We might have a new home. Our new home is the church. You're in your new home. Out of the wilderness, back in the garden today. You hear we have peace with God. We're reconciled to God. And we can have peace with each other. We can forgive each other and love each other. This is the church. We have a new home here. The lush green pasture of word and sacrament, peace, and this new home leads to the eternal home called heaven, paradise, the new Garden of Eden, all by the work of Jesus. The fire reminds us that life is so transient and life is so temporal. And all of our houses are going to burn, friend. Your house is going to burn too one day. And all the wonderful stuff you have in your house and all the wonderful stuff you're buying for your children and yourself at Christmas is all going to burn. Praise be to Jesus. He's given us a home that will not burn, that escapes the unquenchable fire. It's the church you're in. It's heaven. People ask you, what are you going to get for Christmas? Say, I don't need anything. I already got a new home. You got a new home? Yeah, it's called the church. Come join it. It's called heaven. My name's written there. John the Baptist needs new clothing. He walks out. And you see him out there, and he's wearing camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. It's very descriptive, a very vivid gospel lesson. You're supposed to visualize John the Baptist because he represents you and I. It's very vivid. He represents you and I. Camel's hair is very hairy and ugly. Leather belt, you'd say he's ugly. You need new clothes, John. You're very poor looking. Poverty is the idea here. You don't have much. You need new clothes. Maybe some offered him their clothing. Here, John, put this on. But John's an object lesson. This is the way we all look to God. We're poor and ugly with sin and wickedness. John's dress also reminds us of Elijah of the Old Testament. It's the exact description of Elijah of the Old Testament. And so our minds go back to Elijah. And Elijah lived in a day of great idolatry. Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen, idolaters as can be. And the people were straying into great, gross idolatry, worshiping other gods. And Elijah preached repentance. And Elijah wore camel's hair and a leather belt to say, you're ugly people. You may have the finest clothes, the nicest house, the biggest cars, but you're ugly to God. You're poor spiritually. Maybe financially you have it all, but spiritually you are poor and bankrupt. You need new clothing to stand before your God. And that's John the Baptist. You need new clothing to stand before God. And John points to the one who can give us the new clothing too. The one who keeps on giving and giving. And his name is Jesus. The mightier one. The stronger one. And how does Jesus give us that new clothing? In baptism, where Jesus bestows on us the robe of his righteousness. The new clothing is the robe of Jesus' righteousness. His perfect holy life is like a robe, clothing. His perfect holy life, his perfect death, his beautiful, glorious resurrection is like a beautiful garment. And in baptism, God puts us on it. You're clothed, you're holy, you're righteous, you're acceptable to the Father now, and you're going to go to heaven. And when we hear absolution, that wonderful robe is kind of buttoned a little tighter on us. You know, for the little kids, when they go out in the cold, you have a coat on them, and you might button it tight and zip it up tight. Make sure it's on them really, really well so they don't lose it. And that's absolution. God is buttoning the coat again. It's on you now. You're righteous. You're holy. Don't lose your coat in wild, reckless living. Stay my baptized children. You're forgiven now. Go out in the wilderness and live. When I was a little boy for Christmas, of course, I would want a toy. Mom would ask, what do you want, Paulie? I want a toy, whatever the new toy was. I want a new game. But Mom sometimes would say what? Mom was practical. Paulie, I think you need new clothes. Oh, no! The worst thing a little kid can hear is, I'm going to get new clothes for Christmas? Come on, Mom! Bah, humbug to that one. I want a toy, a game. We all say today we need new clothes. I need the renewal of my baptism. I need cleansing. Christ, cover me. And cover me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, that I be holy and righteous. What do I get for Christmas? I get a new home. I get new clothing. I have it all. And then last of all, John the Baptist needs new food. You go out and see John, and this poor guy is eating locusts and wild honey. John, you need some new food. Again, people maybe offered John some food. John, here's some bread. Here's some fish. Locusts and wild honey. You need some new food, buddy, and new clothing. You need a new home. And so the locusts, they remind us of God's judgment. The locusts remind us of how God judged people of old. He sent locusts on the Egyptians to judge them. He sent locusts on his own people because of their sin. And locust meant the bitter taste of judgment, the bitter taste of God's wrath. And the people tasted that, and it didn't taste very good. And the wild honey reminded them of the promised land. They entered the promised land through Moses and Joshua, and it was the land flowing with milk and honey. The wonderful promised land that was supposed to be so great for them. But in John's day, the promised land wasn't helping them at all. It was ruled over by the Romans, and there wasn't a whole lot of milk and honey at all. All that was in the past. We need new food, John is saying. You need new food. You don't want to taste the bitterness of God's wrath. You need something better than the promised land right here. This isn't going to help you. And who's the one who brings us the new food? His name is Jesus. John, again, ever points to Jesus. He points to Jesus and points to Jesus. He will give you the new food. He is the bread of life. And oh, how Jesus gives us the new food, the better food, the perfect food of his very body, his very blood, that we live in the garden out of the wilderness, that we have clothing again, and that we're God's children again. And we eat that new food today. The locusts and wild honey are in great contrast to the body and blood of Jesus, who's the bread of life. His body that conquered all of hell, we eat today. His blood that is perfect and righteous and has conquered hell too, we drink today. And so we will live forever. We will rise from the dead and be with God forever. You know, I saw a commercial for a Christmas toy. And it is this robot dinosaur they're selling. Dinosaur that's a robot, and it'll do everything for you. It'll jump, it'll run, it'll play. And I heard where this robot dinosaur also will eat steak if you feed it steak. A robot dinosaur that will actually eat steak from your hand. Now, friends, if you have leftover steak, don't feed it to your robot dinosaur. I know someone who will eat that steak if you have some leftover steak, okay? My office is right here. I mean, dinosaurs weren't made to eat steak, I don't think. We weren't made to eat locusts and wild honey. God never planned for us to sit here and eat pathetic things like locusts and wild honey. Although, they're nourishing, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. We were made to eat of the tree of life. To eat of the tree of life in the garden with Adam and Eve forever and ever, and to live forever eating the tree of life. And God in his grace has given us the tree of life again. And the tree of life is called the cross. It doesn't look like it's the tree of life. And hanging off it is the wonderful fruit of Jesus' body and blood. So we eat of the wonderful fruit. Jesus is the one tree who indeed bore great fruit. He's the one tree that cannot be cut down. The cross is the one tree that will never be cut down because it bears good fruit, the fruit of Jesus' body and blood. And he actually gives us that fruit today in our mouths, the best fruit in the world, the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that's conquered hell, that's pure and holy. And so I will rise from the dead, I'll be pure and holy, and I'll live forever in heaven. What are you going to get for Christmas? I got it all already, tell people. I got a new home in Jesus. I got new clothing in Jesus. I got new food in Jesus. I need nothing. I have Jesus. Praise be to God for the ministry of John the Baptist. But even more so, much more so, praise be to God for his son Jesus, in whom we have all things new. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the offertory.